Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this 12th Sunday after Pentecost is found in the Old Testament book of 1 Kings chapter 19, reading verses 9 through 18. He came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord suddenly came to him, saying, "Why are you here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of armies, but the people of Israel has abandoned your covenant. They have torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking to take my life." Then the Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is passing by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains and shattered rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind came an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire there was a soft, whispering voice. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, and he went out and stood at the entrance to the cave. Then a voice came to him and said, "Why are you here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of armies, but the people of Israel have abandoned your covenant. They have torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking to take my life." Then the Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came, and go to the wilderness of Damascus. When you get there, you are to anoint Hazael king over Aram. You will also anoint Jehu son of Nimshi as king over Israel, and Elisha son of Shaphat from Abel-Meholah as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. But I have preserved in Israel 7,000 whose knees have not bent to Baal and whose lips have not kissed him." This is our text. Dear people of God, Elijah was depressed. He had given up on the ministry. He had given up on life. Elijah had run away out into the desert to lay down and die. Elijah was depressed, and he had good reason to be. For things in his world were so wrong. Let's start with what Elijah said himself. "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of armies, but the people of Israel have abandoned your covenant. They have torn down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking to take my life." We'll get to that seeking to take my life part, but let's just look at one word: altars. The Israelites had torn down the altars of the Lord. That sounds bad, but it's way worse than it sounds. There were not supposed to be any altars in Israel. About 100 years earlier, the Lord allowed Solomon, King David's son, to build his great temple in Jerusalem. In that temple was the altar of burnt sacrifice, the basin for ceremonial washing, and the Holy of Holies with the Ark of the Covenant in it. 3 times a year, the Israelites were supposed to go to Jerusalem and worship the Lord. That's it. That's what Moses prescribed. That was to be their worship. There were not supposed to be these altars all over the place. But the people got stubborn and lazy, and politics got in the way, so that the northern people didn't want to go to the southern part of the nation to worship like they were supposed to do. And so they built altars. And you might say, well, isn't that nice? Now they can just worship in their neighborhood more regularly. But to say that shows that you underestimate the sinfulness of people. In the history of the world, whenever people have walked away from the prescribed scriptures and from the worship of the church, they always fall into false doctrine. See, the Lord was not the only God worshiped at these altars in Israel. They used those altars to also worship the local gods, the gods of wood and stone, the gods of sex and death. Well, what does it matter? We all pretty much worship the same thing anyway, right? It's just different ways to the same God. No, it's not. Once a person or group takes a little bit of false doctrine into their midst, the whole batch is ruined. Israel had torn down the Lord's altars. So is that a good thing? No! Elijah is saying that even the little bit of religion that these awful people had, they had thrown away. This group was so terrible that they couldn't even worship in a heterodox way correctly. Oh, they tried. That's where Elijah had just come from. He had just come from his battle with the prophets of Baal. This is that Bible story where the prophets of Baal and Elijah both made a sacrifice to their own God. And the prophets of Baal asked Baal, the god of lightning, to light their sacrifice to no avail. But Elijah asked the Lord to send fire from heaven to light his sacrifice. And the Lord did. And the fire burned up the sacrifice, burned up the rocks that made the altar, burned up the soil around the altar, and even burned up the water that Elijah had used to douse his sacrifice in. And then when he did that, when the people saw it, they all rallied to his side, and they took up swords, and they killed all of the prophets of Baal that they could find. When the king and queen heard about the killings, they vowed not to shape up their lives and start worshiping the Lord, but they vowed to kill Elijah. And so Elijah ran away. And that's where we find him. We find him in this cave, quitting on life, quitting on the ministry, handing the Lord his resignation papers. And the Lord says, "Why are you here, Elijah? Really? Haven't you been watching, Lord? You're supposed to be in charge of all this stuff. You're supposed to be helping me. Why can't you give me one victory?" Well, I guess you gave me one victory in the defeat of the prophets of Baal. How about two victories? Why can't you be doing things the way I want them to be done? Why can't you make my life easier? Like the heathen who just sit around in luxury every day. Isn't it something that even after the Lord has been good to us, we still find reason to complain against him? Elijah was depressed, but the Lord in his mercy showed and reminded Elijah that the Lord is still in control. And so the Lord gave Elijah this demonstration of how he works. He told Elijah that he was going to pass in front of him, very much like the Lord passed in front of Moses. But this is a bit different because Elijah had to learn this lesson. So the Lord sends Elijah a great wind. And you can see Elijah holding onto the side of the cave with his feet flailing off as he's about to be swept away to his death. And then the Lord sent a great earthquake. And again, Elijah is in the cave, holding onto the side, hoping that the ceiling doesn't fall in. And then a great fire roars, and Elijah dives back into the cave to escape the heat. But the Lord is not in the wind or the earthquake or the fire. And then comes this gentle whisper. See, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the ruler of the wind and the waves, uses his creation for his own purposes. He uses it to punish those who are his enemies, and he uses it to take care of those that he loves. But the Lord is not a wind or an earthquake or a fire or a tree or a mountain or a lake. What did John call the Lord? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it is no surprise to us that the presence of the Lord was in the soft, whispering voice. That's why we are so nutso about the Word of God and go to great lengths to keep it pure among us. We will not sacrifice a single sentence, not a jot or tittle in all of Holy Scripture, no matter how the other churches call us the strict ones. I'm gladly called a jerk and unloving rather than give up one passage in Holy Scripture. This is God's inspired word. It's the only way that we know anything about the Lord. On the last day, when we all have to stand in front of our Maker, I don't want to have to explain how I didn't care for the parts of the Bible that talk about male headship and fellowship and creation and the sanctity of life. I have bound myself to the soft, whispering voice of the Holy Word of God. That's what humbled Elijah. No one can stand in front of the Almighty, Holy Word of God. The Word is what the Lord uses to crush our stony hearts and to take the heathen from death to life. But in the world, this silly Word of God is and always has been mocked and ridiculed. They are going to rage and kill and oppress. Elijah needed to learn that lesson. You are not going to dominate your enemies. You just aren't. You don't have their weapons. They have the sword and the power. All we have is this still, small, soft whisper of the Word of God. And so the Lord gave Elijah a job to do. He was to take that soft whisper, and he was going to whisper to Hazael that he would be the next king over Aram. And then he was to tell Jehu that he would be the next king over Israel. And then he was to tell Elisha that he would be the next prophet after Elijah left this world. And in the Lord's plan, the idea is that these guys would then kill all of the enemies of the Lord. And it's very strange to find Elisha on that list. But when you look at what actually happened, you notice that Elisha didn't end up killing many people at all. As far as I can find, Elisha only killed those two teenagers who made fun of him because he was bald. But Elisha didn't have to kill many people, because the other two killed thousands. They were great killers. History does not shed a very good light on Hazael and Jehu because of all the people that they killed. Isn't that something? Elijah wanted revenge. He wanted to be the one to do all the bloodshed. But the Lord kept his man from that awful task. And he had other people do it instead. The Lord was watching out for his man. And his man didn't even know much of what was going on at all. The Lord knows what he's doing. He can play according to the world's rules if they want him to. The Lord can kill. That's part of his job. He can kill with earthquake and flood and explosions of all kinds if people want to fight against the Lord. He would rather not. But the war against God rages on, as Ezekiel tasted firsthand, and as we see every night on the news. The Lord can fight, but the Lord can also take care of his people. He had to remind Elijah that even though Elijah felt alone in his stance on the word of God, he wasn't alone. Because the Lord had reserved 7,000 in Israel who still loved him with all their heart. And I have to talk about the 7,000 for a few seconds here. 7,000. That's the number. That's all the believers there were in the world in Elijah's day. Elijah was depressed. And I think he had a good reason to be. 7,000 among the millions that were in the world? That's nothing. That's peanuts. But what did Jesus tell us? The flock is small. That you and I have found fellow believers to worship with. I don't think we appreciate what a rare thing that is in the world. If you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he is the only Savior from sin, then you are a rare and weird thing in this world. That is truly amazing. Thank the Lord for his mercy toward you. That he has made you his own person, so that you do believe, and that you are saved through Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, maker and preserver, lover of our souls, and God Almighty, we praise you, we glorify you, we acknowledge you as Lord. You have been good and gracious to your people. As we wander in this world on our journey home to you, you have richly blessed, protected us, and showered us with blessings, beginning and ending with our dear Savior, Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who saved us from the evil one and the evil place. Thank you, dear Father. Lord, we are about to open our Lutheran Day School with all kinds of fear and trepidation. We do not know what to do in this world, and so we are marching forward, holding your banner high as we go. Bless us and protect us according to your good graces in the name of Jesus Christ. Give us success so that your name may be proclaimed to children close to you and new to you. And if it is your will that we fail and must close, have mercy on your little lambs and give them the ability to learn on their own so that your church on earth may be filled with a new crop of leaders who read and love your word above all things. Lord God, we are in control of so little in this world and rely on you for everything, every meal, every breath, our health, our joy, our satisfaction. All things are gifts from your gracious hand. Make us always see your goodness, and make us shine our faith into the darkness of this world. Every soul needs you, but very few know it. Make us your mouthpieces in this world, that more and more may see the salvation you have provided without cost, without money. Bless your church, dear Father. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen.